Hello and welcome to Just Markets Podcast 365. My name is Shay and today is April 24th, 2019. Well, I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. The markets are in tight range again. They're really not moving a whole lot, even with some revenue beat and some earnings beat. We have Snapchat that came in with a revenue and earnings beat, but that stock is getting hammered today because it's not improving fast enough. We have others that have had earnings beat that's not moving a whole lot, but then we have companies that have really missed on earnings and then missed on guidance, and they're getting creamed because of it. So you're seeing there's a lot of anxiety by investors on these reports that are coming out. And that's a major issue, right, in my mind, for going forward, because I mean, there's a lot of lack of confidence here in the markets as a whole. And justifiably so, there's a lot of risks out there right now. I mean, if you're looking at risks, you know, the headline risks out there, you know, there are Iran sanctions, right? You know, that's going to drive prices higher of oil and commodities in general. You have tariffs, you know, with the ECB that are potentially there, right? That's going to hurt the U.S. economy, you know, in a great way. And of course, when you have, when you have oil at a higher price, you know, due to sanctions or due to supply issues, that's a taxation on a consumer. They're going to spend less money on other things if they have to spend more money on oil, right? So those are definitely things that are the headline risks, right? So earnings report, going back to that, earnings have been coming in better than expected. You know, you have earnings are coming in about negative 3.9%, so you're still in that earnings recession mode. I suspect you'll probably see a better than expected number there by the end of the earnings season, but right now they're coming as expected on the earnings side, and I think that revenues probably will also come in as expected. I don't think that will be better than expected. We'll of course do a more detailed analysis of this end of this week on Friday, for like a halftime show kind of thing for earnings, but for now I'm not seeing a great amount of improvement where I can say, hey, we'll be flat for the, you know, for the earnings season, or it's going to be, you know, positive. I still think it's definitely setting up to be a negative earnings season. So that earnings recession quote is still in play here. Now, next thing I think about is, okay, so we have earnings recession, we have a lot of headline risk, like what is going to drive this economy, this market higher, right? What is the catalyst that's going to drive this market higher? And as I'm looking at the world and I'm looking at everything that we're looking at, there are, two of the major impacts are housing and auto sales and the global economy, right? So the global economy is slowing down, you know, we'll talk more about that later. With the yield curve, has moved a lot today. The Treasury yield curve had a huge change today due to some surprising weakness in Europe and some German numbers that came out. We'll talk more about that later. And then, of course, we'll also talk about the Strait of Hormuz and what that means for oil prices and what that means for risk on oil also. So those two topics we'll be discussing in detail in a little bit. But going back to a catalyst for the upside, I just can't see it. So the global growth has to improve. I can't see that happening with the exception of China. Maybe they are surprised on the upside. Or maybe the U.S. does, right? But the U.S., everything we're looking at, all the leading indicators and the coincident indicators that we're looking at, they're all showing, a slowing down, not an improvement in the economy. Now, I hope it does, and I hope, there's a change, but everything we're looking at doesn't show that. And then next is if you're looking at auto sales improvement or if you're looking at housing sales improvement, none of those are there. They may be, average or mixed, but none of those are improving. Until I can see one of these catalysts move to the positive side, I just cannot see how these price levels are sustainable, especially with the earnings recession. That means that our 12-month forward earnings expectation would have to be lowered, right? That means we're trading at a higher PE multiple on the S&P 500 than where we're at today. So, looking at all these things, that is what matters. And I just can't see a catalyst that's going to keep this market higher here in the short term. In 12 months, I think a lot can change. But at the moment, all of that is not changing. Now let's talk about rates. Today we saw a major shift in the yield curve. Today we had the 10-year trading at about 2.52%. That's almost down about 4 or 5 basis points. 7-year trading at 2.42. So yields have come down a lot, and they were rising the past week or so. And the curve was getting steeper. The yield curve was getting steeper. The longer end, so rates were rising, and the bond prices were dropping. And today, just the opposite happened. And there's a very aggressive move today. And partly, the main reason why this happened today, it's because the repricing of global growth, right? So we had some data come out from Europe, from Germany, and the European consumer confidence has really underperformed. And that's really what's causing this huge yield move in the U.S. Treasury market. And that's why you're seeing a steepening yield curve. Now, this goes back to my comments in the first week of this month. And I talked about the yield curve and talking about this is the yield curve is flattening or is reversing is not because of for U.S. reasons. It's due to global reasons and because you have negative rates around the world. And today is a prime example of that fact case because today you saw the European consumer confidence drop to -7.9, and it was estimated to drop to -7.2, so worse than expected. And then you had the German economic information come out today where the business climate is actually getting worse, and the economic environment is also deteriorating in Germany as a whole. And remember this, the European Union is the largest economic bloc in the world, right? So that's what they're about 22-23% of the global economy. And if they have a significant slowdown, that means you're going to have a significant slowdown in the global economy, regardless of what US and China do, because they're a significant piece of the pie. So overnight, you saw the FTSE 100, which is the UK index, was down about 68 basis points. You had the DAX, was the German index, it was up about 63 basis points. You had the CAC 40, which is the French index, was down about 28 basis points. The FTSE MIB, which is the Italian index, was down about 80 basis points. The IBEX 35, the Spanish country index, was down about 74 basis points. And the Stoxx 600, which is kind of the broad, you know, European index, was down about 9 basis points. Well, it was almost flat. So that just depends on its weightings, right? So you're seeing across the board the European major Western economies indexes were down significantly, with the exception of the DAX Germany, and that was up a little bit. So what you're seeing is that you're seeing this major global slowdown in growth. And now the next question you may be asking is, hey Shay, what does this mean for us here in the US, right? So if you're investing in any of the companies in the S&P 500, it's going to impact earnings and revenue, right, for the S&P 500 companies. Remember, S&P 500 companies, the largest US companies, are multinational companies, right? So about 40% of the revenue in the S&P 500 comes from overseas, and 60% is domestic. So 40% is a major number. Now, of that 40%, about 12% is, I would say, European. According to FactSet, what they reported last year, FactSet, you know, tracks all these revenues, and they said about 11.6% to 12% of the revenue that comes into the S&P 500 is from Europe, right? So that's a major impact on multinationals' revenue on the top line and on the bottom line. So think about that. So that is an issue. So we're already in what we call an earnings recession for the S&P 500. You know, they're on track to decline for the first quarter since a few years ago, and we're already seeing that happen. And this is going to make the case worse both on the revenue side and on the earnings side, unless U.S. can grow above potential. And what we talked about yesterday, we just don't see that happening right now. So, and in South America, not sure if they can keep up. They're already having their own issues in Brazil and Venezuela and others. So, Mexico. So, not sure if there's any positive contribution that you can look at to Rivian earnings to offset the global growth issue in Europe. And I think that that's a major, major headwind for the S&P to keep rising here in the next 12 months. Now, I'm not saying that, the S&P, may not rise, to 3,000 here from this 2,900 in the next few days. But I truly believe that we are awaiting a decent pullback here in the market as a whole, in the global market, and especially in the S&P 500 as a whole also. So I think that, going back to my, I would reiterate that I'm calling for a pullback here, in the S&P 500. And I've talked a lot about that on Monday, so I won't get too much into it. So now let's talk a little bit about the Straits of Hormuz. Now, as you would remember, this is in the Middle East, that this is an area where it's near Iran and Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. And this is where majority of the world's oil, well, not majority, large amounts of the world's oil flows through, right? So this is a 21-mile wide area where 20% of the world's oil flows through daily, right? So about 20 million barrels a day flows through this area. Now, the Iran's Revolutionary Guard is threatening to close us down because of all the sanctions that we are putting on them, and this is a major risk for oil prices. Oil prices have finally broken through that $64 on the WTI and the crude oil. That's the $73 on the crude oil number, right? So they've already broken out. Now this is an additional level of risk, because if this area is closed down, now you have maybe 18 to 20 million barrels a day out of the supply. So that's going to drive price. So we've always talked about commodities, and we're talking about oil. It's all about supply and demand. Now if you're reducing supply by 20 million barrels a day, that's going to drive the price of oil higher, right? So that's the risk here. And I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm saying that is the risk here, right? So why I think this probably is not going to happen is because the US's Navy fleet is in Bahrain, right? It's right there in the Straits of Hormuz. And I'd find it highly difficult for Iran, who lacks any Navy capacity, to be able to close this area down with any efficiency, because you have a lot of U.S. military presence there, and I'm not sure if the Trump administration is going to allow it, right? They would be very aggressive with it. So I don't think it's going to happen, but the threat is there. Now they may, do the whole saber laddering, with testing missiles and using speedboats to annoy the U.S. military ships like they have done in the past. But I think that's probably the extent of the disruption, if you will, and that's not a major issue. But this is something that we can think about. It may be pricing into oil prices further, and that could lead to higher oil prices globally, and that's going to hurt the global economy because the cost of energy is higher. Now, everything we talk about today, shows a bearish signal for the markets. And I'm not a perma bear, meaning that I'm not a permanently a bear person, meaning that I think everything is going to be negative all the time, right? As an investor, I tend to be very realistic with what, and I follow the data. And the data is telling me that this market is poised for a pullback. Now, there's a lot of analysts out there, a lot of market strategists and others are saying this market's moving higher. And to me, that's not the case. And you have to remember one thing, right? A lot of large firms, analysts and strategists, it's in their best interest to keep investors to be invested continuously, right? That's the business. They don't get paid if investors are in cash. They get paid if they're invested. That is I'm not saying there's a conflict of interest, but that's an inherent benefit for them, right? If investors stay invested. So I try to be more realistic than you know, anyone else out there, because I don't have a conflict of interest. My goal is to give you the information you need to know to be a better investor and to be successful. And whether you're investing by yourself or you're investing with a advisor or a portfolio manager, for you to be able to ask the right questions, look at your portfolios and to be able to ask those right questions and understand how you're invested and why you're invested. So anyways, it was a pleasure doing this podcast today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please rate us 5 stars if you have enjoyed it and you found it informative. Please rate and follow us as well. Until tomorrow, take care. Please remember, this podcast is for information purposes only, and presenters will make every effort to provide accurate information, but assumes no responsibility for accuracy. You should not construe any such information or other materials as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there cannot be any assurance that the future performance of any specific investment strategy or products or non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this podcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Due to various factors, including changing market conditions or applicable laws, the content may no longer be reflective of current opinions or positions. Moreover, you should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this podcast serves as a receipt or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from your advisor. To the extent you should have any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issues discussed, you are encouraged to consult with your professional advisor of your choosing.